You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve. And we are so glad that Brad Graber is finally back home. Brad, good morning.
Good morning.
Brad is with investingintruth.com. He's our financial planner, going to be sharing with us in just a second. But Rhema said, Brad, you did the coolest Mother's Day thing. What'd you guys do for Mother's Day?
Well, our small group, I can't take credit for this, by the way, but our small group got together and sent all the ladies out for dinner and to go watch The Sound of Music together.
Oh, how fun.
That's pretty awesome.
They had a good time, and we had a good time, too.
All right.
I thought for a second there you were going to say all of us guys gave all of our gals our wallets and said go have a blast. I mean, this is still a good idea, too, but I should know
this
better.
This is a little cheaper, maybe.
Maybe a little bit. Well, Brad, before you you were gone for a couple of weeks helping some other folks on the other side of the country with their finances and how to be good stewards, we had been talking about work as God's gift to man, and I wanted to wrap that up today by talking about how our work provides for the poor, because our society understands work as a bad thing. Aren't we always trying to get out of it and complaining about it? And any system that forces the poor to work is considered oppressive. But that's really totally contrary to what God has to say in His Word, right?
That's exactly right. And this is a good way to wrap up the discussion on work, because we've talked about all of what work is, how we should view it from a biblical perspective, and that God created us for work. Work is not a bad thing. It may have just gotten harder because of the curse after the fall and after sin entered the world. And it's just important that we now learn the application of it and how work plays such a big role in how we care for the poor. And like you said, society has taken the idea of work and said work is a bad thing. It's something to be avoided. So anytime work would be involved in how we care for the poor, it would be seen as oppressive, and that's a bad thing. Why would we take somebody that's in a bad situation and make it worse by making them work to try to put food on their table instead of giving them what we would call charity? And work plays a big role in that.
Well, I think, Brad, benevolence definitely also is something that we need to be keeping our eyes on. So what is our responsibility as Christians when it comes to providing for the poor?
What I find is one of the best lessons I found in Scripture comes from 2 Thessalonians 3. And starting in verse 10, let me just read a couple of verses, then we can kind of tie this in here. It says, "If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living." So here we see this command that if we don't work, we don't eat. But then he follows it up with verse 13 and says, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." And this is the other side of the coin. So what we find in this short set of verses here is that first, if you can work, you should work. And you shouldn't be relying on other people to provide for you when you have the capacity and the ability to go work and provide for yourself. But then I love the last verse, because there's that balance. And he says, "As for you, brothers," so he's talking to those who are working and doing what they should be, he says, "do not grow weary in doing good." So he's saying, don't let these people out here that are asking for the handouts, don't let them bring you down and exasperate you to the point that you lose your generosity and you lose that charitable spirit to help those who can't work. Because there's always going to be those among us who are not able to go work, whether it's a physical thing or some other situation that's preventing them from being able to work. We need to make sure that we're always holding our resources with that open hand and being willing to share with them. And that takes us back to a verse that we've talked about in the previous weeks, which is Ephesians 4:28, which essentially tells us that we're to work with our own hands so that we may have something to share with anyone in need. So there's the two sides of the situation here. If you can work, you should be working. But if you can't work, then those who can work need to be generous and have that generous spirit to be willing, or to have the resources, number one, but also to have the willing heart to be able to share with those who can't work.
Hmm. Well, Brad, talk a little bit about, speaking of not being able to work, let's take a look at someone who has lost their job. And correct me if I'm misquoting, but I believe that you've said our modern-day unemployment benefit goes against the idea of work. And I've known people who are out of work and thankful to have the benefit, but what do you mean?
This comes from a lot of people that I've counseled that are on the receiving and unemployment side of things. And they're constantly telling me that the system is basically punishing them for trying to go out and get some kind of part-time work. And punishing may be a strong word here, but basically, if you're receiving unemployment benefits and you go get a job, they're going to discount the amount that you get from unemployment for the amount that you're receiving from your part-time job. And so if you go out and you make $200 this week, it's basically $200 less that you're going to receive from unemployment. So what I find is a lot of times people are like, why would I take the time and put in the effort to go do that rather than just taking that time and work on my resume or do something else that might be helping me to get the next job. But what it's doing is it's giving them this disincentive to where they don't want to go and actually do any work because they're not receiving anything for it. Any money they receive, basically their benefits get reduced by the same amount. And what we really should be doing, if we're seeing work as a good thing, and there's dignity to work and in providing for ourselves, the best thing I think we could do is send them out there, have them do any kind of work. We need the people that are in that situation continuing in this habit of work and having this desire to work. So there should be some kind of an incentive for them to go out and continuing to do it while this side of charity or the welfare side of things is trying to continue to provide for them and meet their needs. So how can we do that with a system? And I know that's not an easy thing. Anytime you get into government, you know, there's probably a lot of reasons why it's set up the way it is, but we also have to understand it from the Christian side that there is this part of the system that is causing people to not want to even go work and do the part-time work that may be easy to find. And ultimately they're almost like Cousin Eddie in Christmas Vacation. I always remember the line where he said he's holding out for a managerial position and has been for 7 years. So we got to be careful that we're not setting ourselves up to where we're only going to take the ideal job and we're passing up every area of work that we could be doing in the meantime.
Well, Brad, you know, consider the fact that some people, they're unable to work, right? But those who are legitimately unable to, who are, you know, maybe they are being cared for by others, by the system, but how can they honor God when they can no longer do so physically through their work?
Yeah, and I believe that as long as we have breath, we have the ability to work. And Colossians 4 actually gives us a good example in Epaphras. And it talks about Epaphras and how he actually worked hard in prayer. And he was praying for the other saints and the other believers. And even though I don't know what his condition was, it doesn't tell us, but those who are not able to work in the type of work that we think of, the physical type of job, still have work to do from a kingdom perspective. So those people that are not able to go do that, maybe they're retired or maybe they're disabled, there is still a big job to do in the church, and that is through the work of prayer. And until our dying breath, we have the ability to do that. And if we see that as work and as something that needs to be done, then I think that's an encouragement for those people that may not physically be able to go do the other types of work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, enlightening as always. We're out of time for the morning, but I do want to point people to your website, investingintruth.com. And I know you keep the things that we talk about pinned right there on the homepage so we can find it right at the top of the page as soon as we get there. Want to give a quick plug, too, for your financial boot camp, because I know we've talked about kids getting out of school for the summer, college students graduating, looking for those first jobs, and maybe this, January's gone, but this might be the place where they start to learn how to handle those finances with a new job.
There's never too early of a time to start, but money gets real when you get that first job. So having that biblical knowledge of how to handle it, financial boot camp, like you said, it's at the top of my page, and I got it laid out in the way I teach it is 12 monthly courses, but it basically goes from the beginning of how do we view money to then what does Scripture say about debt and giving and how we should be spending on ourselves, and then ultimately, you know, saving, work is one of those things, all the other applications and of what Scripture is saying and how we develop our lifestyle and how money plays a role in that. But ultimately, it's a spiritual discussion, and we want to make sure that our hearts are right.
All right. Well, Brad, thanks for joining us, and welcome back home. Glad to have you back.
Hey, good to be on with you guys.